Welcome back to The Brooke Alexander Show. I'm your host, Brooke Alexander. I'm a life and success coach here to help you get unstuck, take action, and create the life you want. On this podcast, I get real about what it takes to transform your life and give you information you can really use to up-level and create massive shifts. We talk about mindset, manifestation, spirituality, and what it really takes to be successful. Personal development doesn't have to be boring, and being spiritual doesn't mean meditating for hours. Let's get into today's episode. Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. I have a super amazing special guest. We have Reese Evans from Yes Supply. Reese is a master certified life and success coach and NLP trainer, also my NLP trainer. She is the founder of Yes Supply, which is a platform that helps women create their yes and a purpose-fueled life and business of their dreams. Reese, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Hi, Brooke. I am so excited to be here. I love your podcast. I love your Instagram and all the things that you're doing. So I'm so happy.
Thank you so much. All right. So let's get into our fun speed dating questions. Are you ready?
Yeah. Great way to start the day.
What are three things you're grateful for?
What are three things I'm grateful for? My apartment. I manifested my apartment. It's like a beautiful two-floor loft in the middle of Toronto with a great view. My husband, he's always there to support me. I've known him since I was like 18. So we just grew up together. So super grateful for him. And I'm grateful for so many things. The third one is just like a split between my mom and my grandma, because I'm also just super grateful.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for so many things. I like you guys.
That's awesome. I love all those things.
Yeah.
All right. Next question is, what's your favorite book?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think there's probably more, but the first one that's coming to mind right now is the Magic of Thinking Big.
Mm-hmm. I'm reading that one as well.
You're reading that one right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I shouted it out on my Instagram a few weeks ago and I did a giveaway about it. So yeah, The Magic of Thinking Big is a great book. I think everyone should have on their bookshelf or by their bedside. Like, I keep mine by my bedside, and it's just great because you open it up to any page and there's just a good perspective to help you look at the world differently and look at the world as a successful person.
Yeah, totally. And I think that with that book, even though it's kind of directed towards salesmen from, like, I guess like the 50s or something, everything still applies. It's still all so many nuggets of wisdom in there.
I know. I think I'm such an old soul because I love all the old books. But yeah, everything still applies. And the thing is, I know it's such a cheesy saying, but everything is sales. Like, I agree with that statement. Like, even if you're not selling your business, you're, you know, getting into relationships, meeting new friendships. And I think it's good to put your best foot forward and lead with value, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, cool. I love that book too. What is your favorite place you've ever visited?
Ooh, Bali. Easy.
Oh, yeah.
Bali, yeah. Even when we were flying, so like literally the first year that I quit my job and went full time with my business, I did a retreat there in, am I supposed to be answering these like long or?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Quick little. All right.
No.
So, yeah. My friend, Dani Watson, you can look her up. She's a coach as well. And I did a retreat in Bali called Business Besties, and it was so much fun. And as you're flying into Bali, you can actually feel the good energy. Like, I think that place just vibrates so much higher than anywhere else, and the people there are amazing. The food is amazing. So Bali, hands down.
I love it. I really want to go there, but I always resist it because it's the typical place that Australians go to for like a party thing. Like, there's so many Australians just go there to party, and that is not my vibe. But lately I've been like, I really need to go there. Something is drawing me to it.
Yeah. When I was there, I saw more Aussies than Balinese people, to be honest.
Oh yeah.
You were in the Seminyak and Canggu, but go and resist the partying because there's lots of cool spiritual stuff and the beaches are amazing, and yeah, it's great.
Yeah, have to do it. Okay, next one is, what's one thing you don't know much about or how to do but would like to learn?
You know what? I actually was just talking about this the other day. So French, I used to be really good at French. I used to actually lived in Paris for like a short little stint as a nanny, but then over the years I've lost it. So I want to start taking French classes again because I just love how the language sounds. And
yeah.
Fun to me.
Could you speak French when you lived there?
Yeah, I could speak French when I lived there and I took it all through school. It's actually really funny. I took it all through elementary school and I hated it because I had a teacher who just hated children and I don't know why she became a teacher. And then in grade 9, I had this amazing teacher and she made me fall in love with French. And grade 9 is the last year that it was mandatory to take it in Ontario at that time. And because of her, I kept taking it all through high school. I think I took it like a year in college and then I was a nanny. So it's really interesting how having the right teacher can just completely shift the way that you look at something.
Yeah, I had the same thing with chemistry.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You love chemistry now?
Well, no. I wouldn't say I love it. I wouldn't say I love it, but when I switched teachers, I passed. So
Yeah. See, actually, similar thing happened to you with math. I remember in high school, I had this math teacher and I couldn't understand a word that came out of his mouth. And as soon as I was teacher, it got so much better.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. And all right. Last one. If you had to be someone else for a day, who would you be and why?
Jen Atkin.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's the first person who's coming to mind. I'm sure there's more. But Jen Atkin, I really admire and respect her because you can tell that she just loves hair so much. Like, she would be doing hair even if she didn't get paid for it. Like, there's this meme that I saw where, or like this short video that I saw that like the Kardashians are riding horses and they're like, what, I don't even know what the tail is called, but like their tails were like all mangled. And she's like, oh, I wish I could style that. Like, I admire her because A, she has a lot of fun. It looks like, obviously social media is only like 10% of the picture, but it looks like she has a lot of fun. It looks like she brings a lot of joy into the lives of like all of her clients. And it looks like she's really passionate about what she does and would probably do it even if she didn't get paid. And so like, I kind of look to her as like, her obsession with hair is like my obsession with people's minds. So I think it'd be fun to just like be in her shoes for a day and do Kardashian's hair and just like see what that lifestyle is like.
Yeah, I think it does seem like it would be kind of fun. Like playing with hair all day, getting to hang out with the Kardashians.
Yeah, just for like a day, like not too long.
Yeah. I honestly thought you were going to say like Bob Proctor or something.
Yeah, I admire him. I totally admire him, but I don't know if I want to be him. I think it's more fun to admire him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. I'm always hoping I'll run into him somewhere in Toronto. Like, does he still live here?
I think apparently he lives now in Arizona. A lot of, a lot of people move there like to retire, but I'm going to see him in January at the Art of
the Ball. Exciting. So
follow along in my stories.
Oh yeah. I actually found Bob Proctor through you, I'm pretty sure. And I was like, this guy is amazing.
I know. It's funny. Cute. Like, my obsession is real for this 90 or 85 year old man.
He's so cute. He's so cute. All right. So let's get into the meat and potatoes, as they say. So for those who aren't familiar with your story, can you tell us a little bit about how this journey to creating the amazing business and personal development platform you've started?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'll kind of like zoom you through my whole life. So I grew up in a single parent household. It was me and my mom until I was about 10 years old. I'm just zooming you through. And my mom ended up getting in a really like negative, abusive relationship for the next 6 years of our life was really hard. I think I dealt with a lot of shame and embarrassment. And it's so funny now looking back and recognizing what a limiting belief is, because back then all the things that were limiting beliefs at the time were just my reality. I didn't realize that it was a limiting belief that people don't like you. It was a limiting belief that you're a bad person. It's a limiting belief that, of course, you deserve shitty things to happen to you. I didn't realize that was a limiting belief. I just thought that that was how my life was. That's how things got to be for me, right? So that was a really tough 6 years. My mom ended up getting breast cancer. Luckily, she survived. And then after that, I just remember always kind of like looking back and thinking like, you know, like why did that happen to me? Is it normal? Blah, 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 having a lot of questions about it. And of course, no one really teaches you about this kind of stuff in school. Like they should be teaching you, well, I think they should be teaching you NLP and they should be teaching you how to have like successful, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend relationships. Like how should people talk to you, not talk to you? Because sometimes it's not common sense. And sometimes if you're going through a negative situation, you feel alone and you feel like you're the only person that it's happening to, even though, you know, it's a lot more rampant than we actually realize. So anyway, I, around like 19, got into fashion styling. I really wanted to be a fashion stylist and I kind of just jumped all in. I like bought a laptop I could not afford. And I like taught myself how to build a website off of YouTube videos and just did all this stuff and ended up getting jobs from it. I ended up getting great connections out of it. And it was my first example to myself that you can just create something out of nothing. And that went well for a bit, but then I didn't really have access to mentors who aligned or who could relate to my story. A lot of my mentors were like, oh, my parents paid my rent when I first started, or my parents paid for everything. And that's how I got through the first couple of years of like, you know, hard life in fashion, because a lot of times you're not making money at the very beginning. So I kind of gave up and I ended up working in retail for a few years. And then just, you know, really just did not align with my beliefs. Like I just didn't think that the most important thing in the world is having an expensive outfit, and just felt like I had to be someone that I wasn't a lot of the time at that job. And so I remember just one day after like a really tough day at work, I realized that my job hunting wasn't really working. Like nothing that I was doing when I was looking for other people for opportunities was working. So I decided, well, what if I make up my own opportunity for myself? Like if nobody else is going to give me an opportunity, what if I just create my own out of the blue? And so I asked myself like, well, I asked myself, what would I ask for if I knew the answer was going to be yes? Like if everything right now just froze, if time froze, if I wasn't attached to anything in my life right now and I was going to start completely fresh, how would my life look? And I wrote down that I had no idea how I was going to do it. I had no idea how the online world worked. I had no idea what a coach was. I didn't know if people even read blogs about empowerment. I didn't know if that was a thing, but I just wrote down a list of what I would like to see created. I essentially created what I wish existed. And because I had a lot of limiting beliefs, a lot of fear, a lot of self-doubt, it took a while for me to put that plan into action, but eventually I started the blog. Again, YouTube Central, YouTube University, to teach myself how to build my own blog. It's so much easier now than it was, you know, the first time I started the business. And then started off by interviewing people who had created their own yes in life. So entrepreneurs who had found their passion and turned it into a business aligned to what they wanted to do. And then part of that too was I was just writing posts on like my perspective of believing in yourself and going after your dreams and looking at the world in a different way. And through that, people started to reach out to me, first off saying that the platform that I was creating was really helping them. And I was just doing this as a side hustle at the beginning. And I realized, well, if this is helping them and I'm just doing it a few hours a day, like in the evening after work, imagine how many people I could help and serve, or what I could do if I was able to do it full time. So, you know, that full 40 hours a week. So I started to look into ways where I could combine my passion with making money, not just to make money, obviously, although it's great to make money, but because if I want to do it full time, I had to pay my bills, obviously, right? And discovered membership sites. I built a membership site. I discovered coaching. People started to reach out to me to get my help and assistance on building their own platforms, their own membership sites, their own social media following, blogs, that kind of thing. I started coaching with that and then realized that if people don't have the right mindset, it doesn't even matter if they have all the strategies and all the techie stuff, because if your mindset isn't there, you will just self-sabotage without even realizing and get in your own way. And that's when I dove really deep into mindset work and learned NLP, all the stuff that you learned in my certification. So learned neuro-linguistic programming, emotional freedom techniques. I also learned Reiki, but I just don't teach that. I just use it in my practice. Hypnotherapy, time techniques, and life and success coaching. And then earlier this year, I launched my certification. And here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah. I'm as fast as I can go through my whole story.
I love that you, the point that you realized when you had to create what it was that you
wish was out there for you to help you. And I think a lot of people kind of miss that step and expect that what they want is just going to kind of come to them. And then they're maybe miserable because they're like searching for this thing and searching, and they don't realize that they have to create it.
Yeah, 100%. No, I totally agree. And you are really the creator of your own reality. And it's not a matter of waiting for people to see you in a certain way and then you do it. It's seeing yourself in that way and then people will see you like that. So this is something that I tell my coaches all the time who are, you know, training with me to become coaches. It's not that someone's going to show up at your door, knock on your door one day and say like, hey, can you coach me? If you are waiting for that, you're going to be waiting a long time. What you have to do is you have to kind of go out into the future and think about like, okay, if I was this coach who was making six figures or $1 million or whatever it was, if I was this coach who had this empire, if I was this coach who had all of these amazing things, what are some of the things that I would have done to get there, and how would I show up during the day, right? So if you're a coach who has a massive following, you're showing up, you're creating inspiring content, you are investing in yourself so you can achieve mastery, right? You're investing in yourself so that you have tools and techniques and strategies to actually help people, right? Because the last thing that you want is to start working with a client and they ask you a question and you're like, I don't know, right? So in order for you to create that business or that life that you want, you have to show up like the thing and be in the energy and mindset of the thing before you even see it in your physical reality, which is why I teach a lot of the people who go through my program to start creating content, because chances are, like, I know the type of people who come to me, they've done hours of research. They're probably watching YouTube videos on mindset. They're buying personal development courses. They're reading books. They have the knowledge in here. But if you don't deliver it through, you know, speaking, through making videos, through doing Instagram stories, whatever, you know, your medium is, if you don't deliver it, nobody knows how great you are. Nobody knows how much of a motivator, how much of an amazing coach you are. So you have to show up first and then the rewards will come after. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that, like, it's spot on something that I was doing when I first started my business. And I had like not much of a social media following. I was just kind of expecting people to know what I did and how I did it and whatever. And I was like, I will talk about all this stuff that I know when a client comes to me and they pay me to talk about it. Yeah. And then one day I realized like, oh, that's not how the world really works.
No.
And I was like, I am the missing piece here. I have to show people what I know, how valuable all this mindset work is and how it actually works and the benefits of it. And then I started like doing way more Instagram lives and masterclasses, like free webinars and all that kind of stuff. So like, I definitely had to make that switch to show up as the person that I wanted to be before I had any proof that the outside world was going to respond to it or whatever.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. People will respond to whatever energy or vibration you're showing up at. So that's absolutely perfect. And just trusting that, you know, when you put that out there, it'll come back. So a big part of it is putting out the value, like, you know, what you said you're doing. So creating your podcast and your lives and all that, that's absolutely perfect. And then also one thing that you've done amazingly and one thing that all, you know, coaches or business owners should do is also open themselves up to receiving. So you're putting out all this amazing content, you're changing people's lives, you're helping them transform. Now you need to kind of open up the floodgate so you can receive back. And so typically as a business owner, the way you're putting out that energy, the way you're going to receive that energy back is in the form of money. And how you can make that really simple for you to receive is by creating an offer that people understand and putting it out there and saying, hey, look, like, if you like what I'm doing, here's my offer. You know, it'll go even deeper into some of the stuff that I talked to you about. You get more personalized, you know, help from me. And this is exactly how you sign up. One thing that people kind of forget is that we're so busy. Like, the internet is constantly bombarding us with notifications and pop-ups and videos and stories and like too many different things to count. So the way that people consume information and make purchasing decisions is a lot different than how it used to be. And right now it's about showing up and crafting your offer and and putting it out there a series of times, not just putting it out once and being like, I hope they buy it, but putting it out a series of times, maybe positioning it from a few different angles and showing up. Because sometimes when people don't buy, it's not because they don't like your offer or it's not good enough or whatever. It could just be that they forgot about you, because there's so much like popping up all the time. So a big part of it is just like keeping up and staying relevant and showing up and being a part of your ideal clients or audiences' life on a regular basis.
Yeah, totally. And I think also another thing when it comes to receiving is like putting something out so that you can open up that channel to receive, but also like actually receiving it. The mindset of receiving can be hard. Like, oh, I've asked someone for money and they want to give it to me, like I'm gonna take someone's money. But like, obviously, you know, you're providing the value and there's a reason for that. But that, I think, not being given the money, like by a boss saying you're worth this amount of money and I'm gonna give it to you, but changing that mindset to I am worth this amount of money and I'm going to accept this amount of money, like, or whatever it is that you exchange for the value that you provide to someone. But opening up, like being receptive that way as well, is really
helpful. I'm so glad you said that, because you just brought me back to one of my clients that I had once. So, you know, you've been through the certification, and included in the certification is my YesDream clients program. And in there, there's a sales call script that works so freaking good. Like, it works so good. And I just remember one time I had this client who, you know, she like one-on-one client, she had the same script, and she's like, I did my first sales call and she didn't buy. And I was like, okay, well, like, let's look at this. Like, what happened? And so we kind of went through it. And then I was like, so how did you make your offer? And she's like, oh, I didn't. Like, well, like you can't expect people to purchase your offer if you don't tell them about it, right? So I think there's still a lot of fear that people have around money. And I'm really glad you brought that up, because I think I've done the work so much that sometimes when you do the work and you overcome a struggle, you kind of forget that that used to be like a struggle for some people. And so like one big thing to remember, like especially as a coach or a healer or a spiritual teacher, or, you know, the type of work that the people in your community do, the work we do is so important. And the work that we do is raising the consciousness of the planet. It's also going to help people have better lives in general, see themselves as better, happier, have better relationships with the people in their life, probably less arguing because they can see things from a different perspective. I know, like, because these are all the things that happen for me, being able to make more money, all of these different things. So when we remember that the work that we do is really good, and then we also remember that the only way that we can continue to do this work is if we're supported, right? If we can pay our rent and buy food and, you know, pay our internet bills and all that fun stuff. When we remember that, we remember that it's actually our duty to get paid, because we can't continue to service and help the world if we don't make money, right? And it doesn't, like, there's so many people in my audience that get a ton of value and transformation and, you know, positive benefits just from my free content, but I wouldn't have the time or the ability to create the free content if it wasn't for my amazing clients and customers who sign up for my paid content. I wouldn't be able to afford my computer, my internet, my home office, my ring lights, all that fun stuff. So it's your duty to make money. And when somebody pays you, exactly what you just said, they're getting a higher level of service in exchange, and you're adding value to their life. So it's a good thing to make money. One thing that I like to think about money as spiritual. So essentially, the more money I make, that's just a tangible way to see how many people I've helped, right? Because I wouldn't be making money if I wasn't helping a lot of people. So if you look at it that way, it's just kind of like a way to keep score of how many lives are changing.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And that's like a mindset shift that I am making as well, like seeing it as that as like a byproduct of helping people. And like the more that I have, the more people that I've helped.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing. It's just like, it sounds funny, but it's just money. And people spend money on the stupidest stuff. Like, I used to work in retail. People will spend like $2,000 on a leather jacket. And hey, I do the same thing, so I'm not judging. But, you know, people go to the, if you go to the movies, you know, three times a month, that's like $100 there. If you're going out for, like, sometimes I'll go out for drinks with friends and spend, like, buying snacks and stuff, spend $100, $150 in one evening, right? If somebody really wants to make a shift or a change in their life, wouldn't it be worth it to sacrifice like 10 dinner and drinks with friends where you're talking about the same gossip and whatever to invest $1,000 in a coach or $1,000 in, you know, a really amazing course that actually changes their life? So people are spending money anyway. Like, as business owners, we're not forcing people to spend money. We're not taking people's money, anything like that. People always have choice on how to spend their money. And if somebody's choosing to invest in themselves to make their life better, to get the support that they need from a coach, all the power to them. I really respect people who invest in themselves. And a big problem in our world today too, is most people don't have a friend in their life that will even ask them, what are your goals? Like, when I have a new one-on-one client, I send them a list of, I have like a welcome package that I send them, and it's a list of questions about themselves, about, you know, what they want to become, very detailed. I ask them about their personal history with money, very detailed. And they always say, wow, I've never asked myself this question before. I've never even thought about or gotten this clarity on exactly what I want. And if people don't know what they want, there's no way that they're ever going to get there. So the work that we do as coaches is, I think, more valuable than any article of clothing you're going to get, any trip to the movies or whatever. And most people don't have someone in their life to help them set goals. Most people, as you learned when you went through my certification, don't even know how to properly set goals. And so even if you just help someone set a goal and get to it, that is worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had like two clients in the past week that I've spoken with, and I've been like, so what's your end goal here? Like, what's your vision? Tell me about where you see yourself. And they're like, happy. And I'm like, but what does that look like? What does that mean? What will you be doing? And they're like, they don't know the answer to that. So yeah, that's like a huge one. And no one ever asked me that until like I came across this work.
Yeah.
My goals.
Exactly. And happy isn't a goal. You can be happy one second and sad the next. Like, you know, if you're having a bad day at that time of the month, you can be happy. Okay, you achieved your goal. And then, you know, sad the next moment, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, like learning some of the things that we learned through, you know, life and success coaching certification, that is going to change people's lives so deeply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, just for everyone who's listening, I'm doing a free masterclass next week on setting goals for 2019. So I'll leave that in the description for anyone who is interested in setting goals and getting clear on their vision. It's going to be super fun.
I love that. That's going to be so awesome. Fun.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, when you started making the transition and like shifting into kind of mindset work, was there anything that helped you the most with making the transition? Like, what kinds of things did you do? Meditation, affirmations, anything like that to really help you kind of install those new beliefs and make those shifts?
Yeah. So I'm a constant learner. Like, as much content that I put out, I'm always learning, always getting better, taking what I love, leaving what I don't. So it's definitely always been a journey. So the first, I don't even know where I learned this, but the first, I think I just kind of, you know, downloaded it intuitively. The first mindset work that I started doing was when I was still working at that retail job and, you know, just really wasn't happy with my life. And then I just started to look at like, well, why is my life like this? Like, why am I so unhappy with my life? And what I noticed was where I was delegating or allocating my time. So when I used to wake up in the morning, it's funny to think now about Instagram because it was such a dinosaur back then compared to what it is now, right? But when I would wake up in the morning, the first thing that I would do is like look on Instagram and see what everyone else was doing. And then I'd get out of bed and I'd open up my closet and I'd be like, oh my God, grumble, grumble, I have no clothes. And I'd look at myself in the mirror and I'd complain about my hair or my skin or blah, blah, blah. And I realized like, well, no wonder I don't like my life. Like, I literally complain about every single thing that's in it. And I spend my extra time looking at what everyone else is doing online rather than looking at how can I improve my own life. So the first little shift that I started to make was when I would first get out of bed, instead of grabbing my phone, I wouldn't touch my phone at all. And I would just think about, like, what are some things that I can do to improve my own life without seeing what bloggers are doing or seeing what anyone else is doing? What can I do just to make my life a little bit better, right? And I looked into, like, training course. So I knew, even though I was foggy about, like, the type of job I wanted when I got out of retail, I knew that would be something kind of techie. So I invested in going to, like, OCAD. It's like Ontario College of Art and Design, just taking some, like, evening classes, right? Which is powerful. Like, spending, I wasn't really used to, like, spending that much, you know, money on something that wasn't even, like, it wasn't a college diploma. It was just kind of an extra. But I think making that choice to invest in learning was huge for me. And then also I just started to make sure that I wasn't saying mean things to myself. So I wasn't saying, looking in the mirror and saying, like, you look gross, or your hair is terrible, or you don't have clothes. I guess in a way I started practicing gratitude for the clothes that I did have, or the parts of my skin that weren't broken out, or whatever it was. And it's funny because just, like, changing how I would talk about my life started to actually change my life. And now learning neuro-linguistic programming, one of the things that they say is that the words that you speak don't describe your life, they define it, meaning the words that you're saying are actually creating your future. So you want to be really careful not to complain, because if you complain today about something, what you're doing is you're speaking into existence a worse future, right? So if you're constantly saying, my room is so messy, my room is so messy, my room is so messy, you're making that your affirmation. Your subconscious mind is so powerful, and it essentially is a servant to whatever it is that you feed it. By saying that over and over and over again, you're going to self-sabotage and make your room messy. So what you want to do is, if you want your room to be clean, before it's even clean, you start saying, my room is clean, my room is clean, my room is clean, and you'll kind of guide yourself into those better habits. I listen to affirmations all the time too. So I think those are the things that I kind of started to get into positive thinking. And then I started journaling. I saw how positive it was for me journaling out my goals. So I just started to journal out everything, and then kind of led into meditation. At some point I discovered Bob Proctor and then learned deeper. I always believed in manifesting since I watched The Secret when I was about, like, 16 or 17. But learning some of the stuff that Bob Proctor teaches too really helped kind of just affirm some of my beliefs, because he talks a lot about the more facts behind it. Like, instead of just saying, like, believe in yourself or think about what you want, he would put more explanation into it. And I think that that's also what I do a lot in my work. I don't just say believe in yourself or go after your goals. I actually talk about some of the mind science that I know, or some of the actual tangible proof that this stuff works. And I think for someone like me, who used to have really low self-confidence and be like, oh, that could never happen for me, having that, like, proof really helps it become more tangible and believable.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm the same way as well. Like, I need to know how it works and, like, why it works. And then when you realize that, when you make the change yourself and you see the shift, you're like, whoa, it does work. This is crazy.
Exactly. 100%.
So I want to talk about NLP, obviously, because it's the best. So first let's just talk a little bit about what NLP is.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different definitions for NLP, but I think my favorite one is just, it's kind of your user's manual for your mind. And it's a big reason why I teach it now is because when I learned it, when I actually got deep into learning it, when I took my first certification program, I was just like, how did no one teach me this? Like, how did I not learn this in school? Like, why was I so busy learning about isosceles triangles and, you know, all these facts that aren't really helping me now? And nobody taught me how to manage my own emotions. So one of the big things that happened to me in my training when I first got introduced to it was we did this technique that helped me go from being obsessed with coffee to not liking the taste of coffee at all, just like that. And it was something for me that I've been trying to get off this addiction for the longest time and wasn't able to. And then a quick, you know, 2-minute technique shifted that for me. And then, you know, like, I wasn't a nail biter, but one of the people in my class who I worked with helped him eliminate his nail biting habit just like that. And then just saw so many shifts in myself and the way that I saw myself and understanding better how to set goals and, I don't know, discovering things about my childhood that were affecting me now that I was just able to release all in 1 week. Like, it was game changing for me. So neurolinguistic programming is like the programming language of your mind. So if you think about our mind almost like a computer, what it does, it shows you how we store different information. And with that knowledge, we can shift how we store the meaning of certain things. So maybe if someone believes that they're not likable, or they believe that it's really hard to make money or whatever, that's going to self-sabotage you when you go into your life. And through these techniques, you can eliminate that in like a 10-minute technique. So it's pretty powerful stuff. Another big part of neurolinguistic programming too is just using language in the right way. So using language in a way to help you and help your clients get what they want, become more influential, become more confident, and just really using language and how we see things in our mind. Cause we don't interpret things in words. We interpret it more in pictures. So really understanding that will make a world of difference.
Yeah. And I can completely like relate to all of those shifts. As you know, I like that week that we did the training was wild. Like, it's so insane. Afterwards, I felt like I needed to sit quietly in a room to like really process all the changes that had happened in my head from like the crazy, amazing techniques that we did. And even since then, like, I've helped some friends change stuff like biting their nails and whatnot. I've done it as well. So I've seen it and helped other people make those changes, which is really, really cool. I love it.
Awesome. And isn't it awesome when you're working with someone and they're like, oh my God, I've been struggling with this for a year, and you just knocked it out like that. Like, I've helped people with really deep phobias that they've gone to like therapy and tried all those different things. And then it's like a 10-minute NLP technique and it's gone. Like, it's insane.
Sometimes when I'm explaining to people how I can help them and like that I have a technique that could help them, I'm like, this sounds so crazy that it's going to be able to
sounds like you're lying, right?
Yeah. But like, it works. It really works.
I know. I'll meet someone with a phobia and I'll be like, I can help you get rid of that. And I'll be like, what?
It's so cool. Yeah. So how did you first get into it? Like, how did it come into your life?
Yeah. So I actually learned about NLP through Tony Robbins. So Tony Robbins, all of the work that he does is NLP. He just changed the word. I think it's like neuroassociative techniques or something like that. To make it his own, but it's essentially the exact same thing. So I learned through him. I did some research online, but there wasn't really a high quality like YouTube videos on that. So I started just researching schools. I called a few different schools in my area. And I always, with big decisions like this, I always follow my intuition and I follow my gut. And I just wasn't finding anything here. So I started to research online. I started to like ask in Facebook groups and that kind of thing. And I discovered the school that I went to. And one big thing that you definitely want to look for when you're, you know, signing up for a school or you're signing up for a coach, or at least for me, it's important for me to not just learn, but also to learn from somebody who's in the kind of position that I want to be in. And I always say this too, like you wouldn't want to take money advice from someone who's broke. You wouldn't want to take relationship advice from somebody who's like single or in a terrible relationship, right? And so if I'm investing a sizable amount of money, like tens of thousands of dollars, I want that person to run a business in the way that I want to run my business. And so where I learned how to get trained, I looked carefully at like how the business owners were running their life. They have a freedom-filled business, so they travel a lot. Also, I mean, it's so funny, but I'm just telling you how my mind works. Also, I made the purchase to order the certification through a webinar, and that's also how I run my business. And what that does to me is it shows me that this person knows not just the mindset tools, but they also know how to run a business in a way that works for them. So when I found this thing, my gut was telling me go. So I booked a flight and got a hotel for a week and went there, and the rest was history.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I'm pretty sure I heard about it through you. So it's like really awesome. Yeah. trickling down the way that it goes.
Well, and that's the thing, like when you're when you're running your own business, like I'm kind of saying this for your audience, because I'm sure you probably have a lot of coaches and service-based business owners. A lot of the time you can't expect your audience to know all the knowledge that you know. So I didn't expect my audience to know what NLP was or neuro-linguistic programming was. So I felt it was my responsibility, because I believe in it and I want to help my audience succeed. I felt like it was my responsibility to teach them. So I started to integrate some of the techniques and stuff that I learned into my content. So where, you know, old Reese would have given, maybe did a live stream or did a YouTube video saying like, here's five ways to feel better. And it would have just been like me talking at the camera on five things that I do to feel better. Now knowing NLP, I would say, here's five ways to feel better. And two of them would be an NLP technique. Maybe one would be anchoring and one would be mapping across. Right. So it's also remembering that we have to teach people sometimes and add that educational component to it. And then when they see the benefit in their own life, then they become ready to take that next step and sign up. So that's cool that I introduced you to it.
Yeah. At first, when I heard about it, I did some research, and like a lot of the research that you see online is like, bad people use it to do bad things. So at first I was really hesitant, and then I saw you using it and how you used it, and I was like, oh wait, no, like it's good.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's a tool. It is a tool. And it's same thing with money, right? Like there's people who have money who build schools in Africa and donate to charities and, you know, do amazing things. There's people that have money that sell drugs and hire hitmen and, I don't know, do what bad people do. And it's the same thing with NLP, unfortunately. So there's people who use NLP to, you know, manipulate. And also, like, I haven't really looked into this too much, but there's people that use NLP for dating, quote unquote dating. So like using it on women. And obviously I'm not about that life at all. But here's the thing. It's a tool. So you can use it for bad things. But the more there are bad people using it for bad things, the worse that is for everyone. You can also use NLP for kind of medium things, middle things. So for example, politicians use NLP. So Barack Obama hired an NLP trained writer to help him win the election, right? To write all of his scripts for his speeches. Marketers use NLP. So once you know NLP, it's really cool to start to look at the marketing that you receive in your inbox and in, you know, paper mailings and on TV, right? And now knowing this, you can see when people are using it against you. And so for me, my main mission in life is to help people who maybe have overcome an obstacle or a struggle. Like I know what it feels like to like have no money, to not feel supported, living in an abusive household, da 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 da. For me, knowing how powerful NLP is as a tool, and knowing for someone who had the mindset that I had, which was a terrible mindset, like a really low self-belief mindset, to see that you can make a major shift like that with NLP, that's why I want to bring it to the world. Because if people have these tools and know how to use it for good, think of how fast we can impact the world, right? So when I teach NLP, I use it only in the realm of, you know, positive self-belief, achieving your goals, helping you see yourself in the self-image that will actually like help you and support you in getting to that next level. And also like just people have so many limiting beliefs around like what they're capable of, you know, how much energy they have, how much money they can generate in their life, that kind of thing, or their ability to be a leader and manage a team and that kind of thing. So that's what I'm using it for. But it is a tool, and unfortunately, there are some people who are not using it in the best way.
Yeah, but not us.
We're not us. Not us.
It's like the same thing. It's like a knife. You know, a knife can be used to cut up some beautiful fruit and make a delicious meal, but it can also be used to hurt people. So it's like the intention behind it. What is your favorite NLP technique or techniques?
Ooh, that's a good one. So this one isn't like right in there with NLP, but I think my favorite one is time techniques, which you also learn. So with time techniques, we're using our client's timeline. So just to explain this for your listeners, even though you might not consciously remember every single thing that happened to you since you were in the womb or even before that, your unconscious mind does, either real or metaphorically. And so between the ages of 0 to 7, that's when we're the most impressionable. That's when we create our paradigm of the world that we live in, but we don't have the logic to really understand what's real or what's not real. We don't have the logic to be like, that makes sense or that doesn't make sense. So for example, like I've worked with clients before who they have a belief that because they weigh a certain amount, like, you know, slightly, not even overweight, but just because they weigh more, they'll never be successful. And when I did time techniques with clients who, you know, with my client who dealt with that, for example, what happened was when she was a child, she would always see her mom saying like, oh, I need to lose that last 10 pounds and fit into these jeans. And at the same time, see her struggle with getting a job. And so because when we're so young, we don't have those logical factors, we make the connection that, okay, if you weigh more, you can't get a job, or if you weigh more, you can't get successful, right? For me, for like money beliefs, for example, like I told you, I've done a lot of work around money. And so for me, I felt like if I talk about money, people will hate me. I actually had this belief, which at the time was my reality, that if you talk about money, people hate you. And then when I went back and kind of thought about my first memories around money, I realized that when I was a young child, every time there was a conversation around money, it was my mom kind of like being pissed off at my dad because he didn't pay child support. So again, me being a child, not having that logic, made the connection, oh, if you talk about money, people hate you, right? So, and do you see how that affected me as an adult was I never asked for raises. I was always afraid to split bills with friends because I thought they would hate me if I talked about money. Like I would, you know, work for free or work for way less than what I actually deserved. So why I like time techniques is we can go back, find out why we have some non-self-serving beliefs, remove those, release those, and then you just see your life change in such a massive way. And then also it's really good for future too. So for setting goals, for example, a lot of people are like, oh, I want to achieve this in 6 months. But when they actually think about where they see themselves in 6 months, they still see themselves in that struggle. So you can use time techniques to put a vision of the future that they actually want in 6 months. And then what you're doing is you're aligning your subconscious mind to your conscious mind to achieve that outcome or that goal. And your subconscious mind is 1,000 times more powerful than your conscious mind. So that is going to set you up for success and help you see the opportunities, the situations, the people, the work ethic, whatever it is that you need in order to create that outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And we did time techniques in our training, and like it was cool. I do that with my clients as well, like putting the goals, and we'll be doing that in the masterclass as well, like putting goals in the future so you can see yourself achieving it. But when I did it, like
masterclass.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be cool.
Masterclass. Holy.
Yeah, right. Thank you. I'm super excited. Yeah, because I know people don't focus on their goals. But anyway, when we did it in the training, I went back for like anger and sadness. I think I went back on one of them like 2 past lives and then 6 generations.
Wow.
For one of them. And even if that's just metaphorically, or if that is actually like where those emotions came from and like when there was a huge event around those emotions, like still really powerful. And feeling the shifts after that is like, it's so crazy when you go through, do these NLP techniques, like NLP and time techniques and all these things. And then afterwards, it's like a complete mind shift. It's like new neural pathways have been created. The old ones have been removed, and you can like feel it. You can tell something has changed in there because your brain is trying to search for these things, limiting beliefs and fears that it used to rely on, and they're gone. And even after we did that one big technique, I was still sitting on the chair and I was like, I feel wobbly. Like I can't, my brain was really like, there was a lot going on in there, but it's so cool.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff. It's really, really powerful stuff.
I love it all. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We've gone over so much stuff today, so much value, and I'm sure that everyone who listens is going to get so much good stuff out of it. So thank you for being here. Can you let listeners know where they can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can follow me on Instagram at YesSupply. So YesSupply. I go live on there a lot. You can also find me on Facebook.com/YesSupply. Usually if I go live on Instagram, I go live on Facebook at the same time. And just side note, usually Instagram is like weird with the connections, so it's better quality on Facebook. You can find me on my website, YesSupply.co. And what I can do, Brooke, is maybe leave a link for my masterclass on how to become a coach. And the link that goes right to my certification page, if anyone's listening to this and they're interested in getting certified as well, I'll send you over those links, and then they can be linked in the show notes for anyone who's interested.
Yeah, absolutely. And for if you even have a slight little bit of interest or inkling, like just follow that nudge and do the masterclass, sign up, like go for it. I encourage everyone to, because it's life-changing, not only just for what you can provide for your clients, but also what you can, the shifts that you can make for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Super awesome stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the masterclass is free to attend. So that's no investment, and you'll learn a lot. I talk about the mindset that you need to be in to be a successful business owner, a successful coach. I also talk about how to simplify your business, because most people in our generation, we try to do everything, and then it leads to being very busy, but not getting the outcomes that you want, probably not making the income that you want. So I talk about how to simplify all that. So there's a lot of value in that free masterclass, and yeah.
Maybe I'll do the masterclass. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Love it. All right. Well, once again, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and for sharing all of your wisdom. I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I love everything that you're doing. And you're just going to change so much lives with all the information and stuff and the podcast that you have. So thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you learned something that you can begin to implement in your life right now. If you did enjoy this episode, I would absolutely love if you left me a review in iTunes so that we can get the podcast in front of more people and share the message. And don't forget to head over to my website to sign up and get all the free content I've created for you to help you on your manifestation and transformation journey. There's so much for you to enjoy, and I'm so grateful to be able to share it with you.